3827.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. Happy, what day is it? Wednesday. I had to think about what day it was. It is Wednesday. It's hump day. Altus, you're the hot spot in the state right now at 100 degrees, 98 at Hollis, 92 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 96 degrees at Arnett, 95 at Slapout, 95 at, May Ranch. And then we have Lahoma, you're 96. And out here in the panhandle of Texas, we got 94 at Lipscomb, 95 at Canadian, 98 at Dozer, 99 at Wellington, and 98 at Odell. Pretty warm. Looks like it's going to be warm for quite a few days ahead of us anyway. I learned a valuable lesson that I'm going to share with you, and some of you are going to call me names that I won't announce over the radio. But anyway, so if you've heard about my adventures at the Clark Farms, you know, I went from a little 300-gallon sprayer to a big boy sprayer now, in the big boy territories now, up there with the rest of you. Anyway, I've learned some valuable lessons along the way, and the biggest lesson I've learned so far is, just because it's easier to fill your tank out of your irrigation wells doesn't mean you need to. Because I've been using my water hose there by the height tunnel, filling it up. Yeah, it takes 10, 15, 20 minutes to put in there what I want, but it was well worth the time. So the other day I had to clean out a little bit of chemical in my tank, and I took it over to that 80 I got. It had a few weeds on it, and I sprayed what was left in the tank out of there. On my way back by, my irrigation wells are running for my side row on the peanuts. And I got a 2-inch line out here. I'll just fill my tank up with it. Be really cool, be really smart, be really quick, and I can move on down the road. So it took about, a minute, 10 seconds to put 400 gallons in my tank because my irrigation well was pressured up and it was full. And, not full, but had what in there I wanted. So anyway, I went to spray some, fungicide, and what else was I spraying? Something else. I remember what I was spraying. Oh, some, liquid carbon on my peanuts. Well, instead of taking about 45 minutes, it took about 2 hours. And a lot of cursing and a lot of, my boot would turn around and kick myself, it would do it. So anyway, don't use your irrigation wells while they're running hard to fill your tank up, because guess what? You get sand in there, and sand plugs stuff up. So yesterday I spent 2 hours taking all the tips and the screens off, flushing my tank out, getting it all the sand out of there. It wasn't fun. So anyway, you guys are probably either saying, yeah, dummy, we knew better, or you've learned the hard way too. So anyway, I got her all cleaned up, so I'm all good to go. But anyway, well, Brandon Hickey, if I get a hold of him here in the next segment, we'll be on, talk about what's going on with the cattle markets, especially on the local side. First of all, let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Wheat futures were down slightly overnight as the U.S. harvest progresses on increased production in Ukraine. Corn and beans were little changed. The U.S. winter wheat harvest was 93% complete at the start of the year, up from 88% 7 days earlier in the prior five-year average of 91%, according to the Department of Agriculture. Spring wheat producers have collected 18% of the U.S. crop, up from 6% a week earlier. but behind the average of 21% for this time of the year, according to them, the USDA. About 72% of spring wheat was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday, down from 74% a week earlier, but well ahead of 42% that earned top ratings at this point in 2023. In Ukraine, meanwhile, wheat production in the 23-24 marketing year was up 4% from the prior year to 23 million metric tons, according to a report from the USDA's office over there. Corn output in the war-torn countries surged 18% to 31 million metric tons. Production of all major grains jumped 10% to 60.1 million metric tons, predominantly due to a spike in corn production. Wheat futures for September delivery fell 3.25 cents to 525.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 2.75 cents to 545 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery roared down 0.5 cents to $3.96.75 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery rose 2.75 cents to 965.25 a bushel. Soybean meal was up $1 to $300.20 a short ton, and soy oil gained 47 cents to $39.56 a pound. Ag credit stress was limited in the second quarter of the year, but shows signs of tightening amid lower crop prices and rising cost of inputs, according to a survey from the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City. Farm income in the 10th Federal District, which includes Western Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Wyoming, Colorado, and Northern New Mexico, dropped faster than in recent quarters amid lower crop prices and increased expenses. Despite sharp declines in farm income and capital, Despite sharp declines in farm income and capital spending, agricultural credit stress remained limited, but signs of financial pressure has appeared, the survey said. Lenders reported modest deterioration in farm financials, farm finances, farm loan repayment rates declined at a gradual pace similar to recent quarters, and repayment problems on farms rose slightly. About 60% of farm lenders said income was lower than a year ago. Strong cattle prices weren't enough to offset low crop prices. Income was down across the country through states that relied on crop production, saw the steepest declines. The index of farm income was lower in Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska. The Fed said after strengthening last quarter, farm income in the Mountain States and Oklahoma declined in the second quarter as 30% of lenders in those states reported lower farm income than a year ago. Let's see. Let's check out some weather. We got some flooding going on in central Missouri. Extremely hot weather is forecast for northeastern Kansas, south to the Texas Gulf Coast, and east into the Florida Panhandle and northeastern Oklahoma. I seen Lacey post this while ago. Heat indexes are forecast to reach as high as 112 degrees this afternoon. It's pretty warm around here right now, but we don't have all them trees and that mugginess going on over like they do east of I-35. Anyway, let's go ahead, since I got Brandon coming on, let's go ahead and do the Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Grain Market Update. And looks like the bleeding's kind of stopped a little bit on the grains. It ain't gone up, but it stopped because, man, it's been taking a pounding the last 2 or 3 weeks, a hard pounding. September corn, 381, up 3.25. December's 4, up 3.5. Soybeans are up for a change. They've taken the biggest hit of everything so far in the last few weeks. September corn, our soybeans, 951, up 4, and November's 967, up 4.75. Soybean meal for September, 303, up 320. October's 300 even, up 370. Soybean oil, September 40.02 down 27, and October 39.42 down 21. Hard red winter wheat is taking a little bit of hit today, a pretty good one actually. September 5.43 down 4.25, December's down 4.25. Also, weight just changed, it's down 4.5 now at 5.58. Cotton for next year, somewhere around 70 cents. So anyway, let's see here. Oil out of West Texas, September 77.66 down 69. And natural gas for September 2.24 up 9. The NASDAQ and the Dow are in the green slightly, but the Dow and S&P are in the green slightly, but the NASDAQ's down in the red today. Cattle looks good today. Live cattle for August, 184.70, up 70. In October, 182.30, up 155. Feeders for August, 248.52, up 205. September, 244.97, up 280. And first time I've seen lean hogs in the green in a week or so. August, 90.12. Let's skip August. Let's go to October. My bad. I wish they'd just take August off. October 75.87 up 302. All right. Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. I heard Jared talking about Jimmy Taylor giving his speech over at the North Fork deal Saturday. But anyway, let's take a Taylor Ranch break and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August the 9th. 1,322 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 450 brought 320. 9 at 534 brought 291.50. 20 at 545 brought 292. 6 at 587 brought 283. 4 at 606 brought 271. 30 at 723 brought 244.50. 7 head of heifers at 462 brought 258. 11 at 475 brought 268. 4 at 523 brought 264, 8 at 590 brought 243, 19 at 627 brought 247.50, 11 at 720 brought 236.50, butcher cows were 84 to 166, butcher bulls brought 120 to 183, bred cows 1500 to 2885, pairs were 1500 to 2750. Elk City Livestock Auction, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
We do get travel going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Eric.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
From pump to
pivot. Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your ag weather update for the Panhandle of Texas. I picked the big city of Childress, Texas. 99 degrees, heat index 100, humidity is 30%, and dew point 62. The winds are out of the south at 11 with wind gusts up to 15 currently. Peak wind gusts so far today, 28 miles an hour. No rain, month-to-date precipitation, sub-freezing minutes, none of them, no red flag minutes, but your 8-inch soil temperature is 90 degrees. On the phone with me right now is world-famous Brandon Hickey. I lost your name there for a second.
I know
a lot of famous people, and you're one of them, but I had a brain cloud there for a minute. But anyway, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. It's hot. It's gotten warmed back up again.
Yeah, man. Weekends like last weekend will spoil a person to death.
Oh, man, absolutely. And some great rains around, and sorry that they didn't get some further south. I didn't go near far enough south, but boy, there's some really good rains back up this direction, and then on east towards the city. My goodness, got some big totals that direction.
I see on social media one of the people that I'm friends, I won't mention his name in case he's listening. He's up there at Ashland, Kansas. He had this big John Deere tractor that he was borrowed for the day or trying out or whatever. Anyway, he had a drill on the back of it, and that scares me. He's getting the cart in front of the horse, I think. But anyway, because when I walked across I planted some cover crops that had just sprouted, and man, it rained last weekend. They're already boot top high. I walked across there, and the grasshoppers did not go away. So
yes.
Well, let's talk about the sale last Friday at Elk City. It was a pretty good one.
I had a good run. Did have quite a few cancellations with the rain, which is what a great reason to have some cancellations, because they got rained out, too muddy to get them there. Still ended up with over 1,300 head, but was sure about 200 less than what we was expecting had it not rained. But a lot of good quality cattle, a lot of really nice strings of calves, and it was maybe slightly cheaper than the week before on those calves, but still really, really stout, and still lots of buyer interest.
Yeah, because the markets were a little off last week as far as like the lives and the feeders. And they took a hit there for a day or two, but they seem like they're already recovered nicely. So I know some guys that were waiting on selling some calves to see what happened, what was going to happen. So it didn't look like it hurt it too bad.
Yeah, you know, they about 3 days there, they took it down almost $20 in 3 days. But it's recovered, just like you say. About 3 days of a hard down, and then about 3 days of sideways, and then Friday and Monday and Tuesday and today, it's all, you know, back in the green, going up a little bit and getting back up there to the levels that it was when we started the hard down there for 3 days. So, and we're getting back up there close to some resistance levels. It's going to be interesting to see if we're able to break through some of those resistance levels and send this thing on up another $10 or $15.
Bring it on. I'm not scared of you.
No sir.
Anyway, there's a it looks like according to this deal that you sent me, that you send to everybody, it looks like the, you know, the basically the 4 to 6 weights are just, man, they're just doing good.
They are. Well, and even on up to the 7 weights, you know, those 700 pounders, the 740 something at 244.50, those was calves right off the cow.
723?
Yeah, that was 723 and 244.50. Those was right off their mama. So I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at for a 7 weight ball and weaning calf. That was a good sale on them.
Well, I was one of those guys because I had one of those calves that hadn't come in the lot when he was supposed to. So I finally caught him last week, and not that he was wild or anything. He just, you know, I like it out here better. And I finally caught him, and I was shocked how much he weighed. But I've seen the mama. The mama had already winged him. But anyway, that was an 850-pound bull calf, and he was a little bigger than I thought he was, and I usually don't do that. And anyway, he brought a pretty nice chunk of change.
Yes, sir. They, you know, and that's one thing, you know, one thing we've talked about it before that we've really got going for us right now. You know, and this isn't great for everybody, but it's great for the cattle deal. You know, that the grains have taken such a hit and are so cheap that these cost of gains have gotten really, really down the pole. It's really being pretty cheap to grow these cattle right now. So that's going to keep this calf deal pretty dadgum good going forward. And you know, we could get a kink in there. We could see those grains go through the roof. You know, being the election year, we could see some weird thing happen with them. And they could go up, and that could knock this cattle deal down. But right now, while these grains are down at the levels they're at, it's these calves and these feeder cattle are pretty attractive.
Yeah, and even though I read that report earlier about, you know, the farm income is down, even with the high cattle prices, is not enough to offset what the grains are doing to our producers out there. The election year does. It doesn't scare me, but it bothers me because it's stupid to adjust markets no matter what the market is over who's going to get voted in or whatever. That's why I'm not into politics, because I hate it. But there's a that's what we got the Cotton King for.
And absolutely.
Yeah, he can voice his opinion on that stuff. But you know, it's, man, we don't need it to hit the cattle market too, because that's two hits. That's, you know, one more and it's a strikeout. It's not a good deal.
Yeah. You know, I think these levels are where they kind of ought to be with our numbers on the feeder cattle and these calves. We're selling these cattle, you know, pretty close to the levels that we should be. I mean, you know, might be a little bit upswing in them, but you know, dadgum, it still just amazes me how they've been able to keep the fat cattle deal, the cash price of the fat cattle deal pushed down. You know, I think that's the only thing that's holding this thing back from getting even better than it is. You know, we just really haven't been able to break through that 180. You know, I think 1 week there we got up in the low 190s on those fat cattle, and the rest of the time we've been in the low to mid 180s, you know, week in, week out on those fat cattle. And to me, that, you know, with the numbers like they are, those cattle really ought to be up there one side or the other, that $2, and we just really haven't got anywhere close to that. And I think if that would ever, you know, materialize, you would see this the calf and the feeder deal get considerably better than it is. But I think that's the main thing holding us back right now, is that we just really haven't achieved the level that there that we ought to. But again, you know, that goes back to lack of competition, lack of live bidding on cattle, lack of competition, you know, on your cattle. There's just not enough of it in that. Once you get those cattle up to that cattle size and they're ready for harvest, there's just not enough competition out there to push that thing where it really ought to be.
So how did my listener's cattle do Friday, Mr. Scott? How did his do?
He was tickled. They did very well. Big old pretty nice set of calves. You know, and just talking about the farm income, he said the calves was a little bit lighter than they were a year ago. He held on to them about 3 weeks longer, but they were still a little bit lighter, not quite as good of a summer. Calves wasn't quite as big. A little bit lighter, said they brought just almost exactly $100 a head less than what they did a year ago. And so, you know, that it just goes to show you right there that, you know, that, you know, yeah, these numbers are tighter, but we were selling the calves. The big calves was even higher a year ago. So, you know, we're, there's, it was interesting to me that he remembered that. He called me and told me all that, and he said, I think the cattle sold good, but he said, I thought it was very interesting also that it was exactly $100 a head less than when we sold them a year ago. And, you know, but that points to the report that you just read, that the farm income is down, and that's why, because these, you know, we've kind of had a level off here and kind of a wait and see attitude on where we're going to go with these cattle. And again, I you know, I'll go back that this goes back to some uncertainty and, you know, some certain amount of fear about where, what we're going to do with it being an election year.
Well, I'm glad he didn't call you and blame me for his cattle not doing as well as they did last year, because he bought some cows off of me. And he was complaining, what was it, yesterday morning, I think? Yeah, it was yesterday morning. He was complaining at breakfast about, because he was on his way to the city. And luckily for him, you texted and said deal today, because I told him we were talking about him last week in a good way. And he said, you know that one cow you sold me? Yeah. Man, she's a blankety blank. And I said, why do you think I named her that? It's the only purebred cow that I had that I sold him. The rest were semi-Angus cross. And yeah, there's a reason why her first name starts with a B.
Well, I actually think that those calves are coming next week. Because this was all of his Charlet sired calves that he brought this last week. So I think those are all coming a week from this Friday. They're all lined up to come. So.
There's no way. He's keeping my calves for bulls and heifers. There's no way. So anyway, well, let's slide down I-40 going east. Of course, you had a low number sale Monday because we had big rains in most of the area, so your head count was at 742, but they still sold great.
They did, yeah. We, again, had about 800 head of cancellations of cattle that couldn't get there this week because of the rain. And, again, a great reason to have some cancellations, but the market was good. The calf market was a little bit stouter than it was the week before there on Monday, which was very, very glad to see. And, you know, one interesting thing to me a trend that's kind of starting to show up a little bit, you know, and it really shows up there where you've got, you know, we've got a good number of weaned cattle and feeder cattle. But the there was two sets of calves that's on that, heifers that's on that market sample that I sent you.
Yep.
And there was a set that weighed 603 and a set that weighed, I believe it was 590.
Yep, you're right.
And there was $11 a hundred difference between those two sets of cattle. And the cattle from Canute was a set of home-raised, really, really high-quality cattle. And the set from Lone Wolf was more of a put-together set of cattle. And 590 and 604, so for 14 pounds was $11 a hundred difference. That is what the difference is right now between a 60-day weaned calf and a 120-day weaned calf on a six-weight heifer is $11 a hundred, which doesn't pay you to feed them for another 60 days if you're having to feed them. But if you know, if you've got them turned out on pasture or whatnot, you know, that's a pretty good return on keeping them out there for longer, but if you're having to feed them, that's not a very good return. But you know, it's about a $12 a hundred premium for a 60-day weaned, but you turn that into another $23 to $25 a hundred on a 120-day weaned, and I thought that was very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is. I just noticed that.
Very telling deal there Monday.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you brought that up, because I talk about it every now and then when I'm reading markets, whether they're weaned or unweaned, and what the difference is, and is it worth it with the cost of grain and blah blah blah. But that is really interesting, because as you say, $11 for 100 weight, so you're talking $66 different total. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, but if you got the grass and it's there, And
absolutely, yeah, that's what I mean. You know, you can't afford to feed them, you know, for $66 and make anything for, you know, for another 60 days. But if you've got them turned out on pasture, you know, that's a pretty good return. But I thought that was very, very interesting because, I mean, it was a really, really nice set of calves, the six weight heifers. And the gentleman really does a good program and does it right and does a good job of weaning those cattle for I believe it was 62 days was actually what he had on them when we sold them Monday. But I was, you know, been the guy that brought the 120-day weans, not as good a quality heifers that weighed 590. You know, they really there was more bidding on them. And you know, which run that figure up quite a little bit more. So I thought that was kind of an interesting deal and you know, I'm not promoting one thing over the other, but it's just kind of a, you know, when people see those, it's, you can't put every detail in those market samples. So when you see those spreads, you kind of wonder, sometimes if you don't know exactly why, well, that's why, on that is just that many more days of weaning and that much more aggressive that the feedlot's going to get on a 120-day wean as opposed to a 60-day wean, just less, you know, less fear of them having to worry about having to doctor them things.
Well, it's been brought up a couple times on the show the last couple of weeks and on social media and all these emails sent out because I've noticed even it, Dr. Johnson from OSU sent out a deal on weaning and stuff, and there's so many different cattle producers out there, so many different scenarios or why they wing and why they don't wing. And you know, it's like me, I used me as an example the other day. I had three pastures and only one of them I can actually wing calves in, which I'm happen to be doing this Friday. So get ready to see me pull in with the trailer here in about 60 days. And so, but you know, there's so many different scenarios why people can't wing calves and there's good scenarios why people can. So it is what it is all I can say. I know you're wanting to get in there and eat lunch, so I'm going to be nice to you and we'll talk about the electronic identification tags next week if you don't mind.
Okay.
and that way you can do your homework.
We had a big old OLMA, Oklahoma Livestock Marketing Association meeting the fourth day of August, and we got quite an education on that deal. So,
cool.
We got into that deal pretty deep once again, so I'm prepared. I'm ready whenever. So.
All right. We'll do it next week, and because you and I always use more time than I'm allotted for, but that's all right. I'm pushing the button here, and I know you were pulled in there. You was getting ready to eat lunch. So anyway, Mr. Brandon Hickey, thanks for coming on. And anything coming into Elk City Friday or Clinton Monday people need to know about?
Got a really good run of Reputation Ranch calves coming again Friday. This Friday we'll have lots and lots of 4 to 6 weight. Right off the ranch, right off the cow calves, lots of quality again. Going to have a really nice run of them. You know, going to add on to the cancellations from last week. So we'll have a big nice run of calves coming this week. And then Monday at Western Oklahoma, we'll have those 550 long time, 120 day plus weaned 5 and 6 weight cattle, steers and heifers that are just going to be ready to really grow for somebody. And I got 200 feeder heifers, the 6 and 7 weight feeder heifers coming from down at Dover. They'll be really, really excellent quality feeder heifer consignment on that deal. And got several little 30 and 40 head bunches of feeder cattle. So we're going to have a really nice feeder cattle run Monday. Most of them kind of weighing from 5 to 750, but it'll have a lot in those weight ranges of really nice, sure enough, long-time weaned feeder cattle.
Well, good. Well, a good thing that's going to happen, I'm going to talk about it every day till Friday. I know there's a lot of people, I've seen a lot of traffic coming in and out of that sale that's going to be happening there by your sale barn Saturday. So I highly recommend everybody wait till around 11:30 to go look at all that equipment and then hop over there to sale barn and meet the woman that we always talk about, the danger woman. And that's her new name, Danger. And anyway, go over and get a best cheeseburger in Elk City, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Yep. Come meet the myth and the legend.
And I don't know which one. So anyway, all right, Brandon. Thank you. Have a good lunch.
You bet. Thank you, Jimmy.
See ya. All right, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When I come back, we got more news. And if I have time, I finally found an article that agrees with the way I'm thinking on feral hogs. So we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer Sweeper makes it easy. Sweeper Heavy Duty Dry Cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Sweeper takes care of his too. Now the hair's gone, all thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper Heavy Duty Dry Cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
If you get your prescriptions filled at a big box store, either you think it's more convenient or quicker or cheaper. Well, let's see. Let's talk convenience. Grandview Pharmacy has a drive-through window, so you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And since it's in the middle of town, it's pretty easy to get there. Plus, if you can't come to them, they'll come to you. They offer free local delivery. Now speed. Grandview Pharmacy keeps the shelves stocked because they get shipments of medicine all the time. You don't have to wait for days for your meds to arrive. And once you're in the store, the staff works efficiently to process orders and let customers be on their way. Then there's price. Everybody thinks the box stores offer cheaper medicine. But Grandview Pharmacy is part of a buying group that purchases meds at discounted rates. Their prices are competitive on most items. All the supposed perks of box stores, but they know their customers by name. Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts, 1220 West 3rd in Elk City. Get your medicine from people who know you.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, welcome back. Here's your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update for Alva today. Hadn't been to Alva in a while, so 95 degrees, feels like 101. Heat risk is moderate. Dew point is 68. Humidity is 42%. Winds are out of the south, southwest, 14 miles an hour with wind gust up to 20. 10-day rain total, 1.46 inches of rain. 3-day average, 4-inch bare. Soil temperature, 77 degrees. There's 15 degrees difference between Alva and Childress, Texas. Crazy, ain't it? Sunset 8:27, hot 101 today. Southwest winds 17 to 20 with wind gust up to 25. Tonight, you have a 40% chance of thunderstorms, a low around 75. And then we, tomorrow, 97. Not bad. The winds will be out of the northwest, 67 miles an hour. Pretty sad when I say 97 is not bad. It beats the heck out of what we got going on. Anyway, all right, let's see. Cotton King is listening today. He wanted me to announce to you guys that he will publicly declare his, he wants to be on the bandwagon with the Harris campaign. Take that. Teach you to text me during the show. Anyway, hey, I know people got sagebrush in their pasture, especially north of here, and I got sagebrush in mine around Carter. Anyway, while cow grazing in the field isn't typically remarkable, USDA scientists have identified potential benefits of strategically applied livestock grazing in sagebrush communities across the western rangelands of the United States. As recently published in a scientific journal called Ecosphere, I guess that's how you say Ecosphere. I don't know how you say that. The collaborative research effort among Agriculture Research Service rangeland scientists at Burns, Oregon, Fort Collins, Colorado, challenged the outdated dogma that livestock grazing in sagebrush steps away negatively impacts those ecosystems. In fact, it can convey the desirable outcomes, particularly in regard to limiting both wildfire risk and invasive annual grasses. In addressing these challenges, ARS scientists discovered that strategically applying livestock grazing prior to the occurrence of climate-induced wildfires, climate's always in everything nowadays, can modify sagebrush steppe characteristics in ways that decrease fire probability and severity in the communities, promote biodiversity while reducing post-fire annual grass invasion, fire-induced loss of native bunch grasses, and fire damage to soil, biocrust, the collection of bacteria, fungi, and mosses on soil surface. The ARS team compared moderately grazed and ungrazed sagebrush steppe and observed the grazing induced shorter flame lengths, slower rates of fire spread, and smaller burning fronts. They need to figure out how to do this with cedars. Similar strategic grazing in annual grass-dominated rangelands reduced flame length and the rate of spread modifications that resulted in safer and more effective fire suppression. Still, another benefit of modified fire characteristics, the scientists reported, is a decrease in the area burned and overall burn and unburned patches. Grazing by non-native livestock such as sheep, cattle, and horses dates back to the mid to late 1800s by Europeans. These early practices were not very sustainable and led to widespread overuse and degradation to include loss of perennial grasses and forbs, reduced biodiversity, erosion, and overabundant, palatable species and non-native plant invasions. With careful attention to the timing, duration, frequency, and intensity of use to meet vegetation objectives, strategic grazing has the potential to reduce the impacts of invasive annual grasses, promote native species and introduce grasslands, and encourage native shrub recovery. Recognizing livestock grazing is a tool that can achieve desired outcomes, could improve our ability to achieve meaningful rangeland management outcomes in sagebrush and likely other rangeland communities. How about that? Let's take a Taylor Ranch break. When I come back, we'll finish up the show with the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather forecast for southwestern Oklahoma. And if I got time, I got two subjects left, so I'll pick whichever subject we got according to the time we got left. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Free to the public. Join us at Sugar Creek Casino's Sweet and Smoky Barbecue Competition on Saturday, August 17th in Hinton, Oklahoma. Watch the top Kansas City Barbecue Society Pitmasters compete in a Jack Daniel's World Championship Draw event. Barbecue tasting kits are just $15 from 2 p.m. until sold out. Add a shirt for only $5 more. Enjoy inflatables, local vendors, live music, and more from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Don't miss the car show with free entry and awards at 4:30 p.m. Head to Sugar Creek Casino in Hinton, Oklahoma for a day of food, fun, and family excitement.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran-owned. We deliver top-tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our Fecon Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update. Let's do the big city of Lone Wolf, Oklahoma. 100 is what it feels like. 103 is what it feels like. 100 is actual temperature. Heat risk is moderate. Dew point 64. Humidity 31%. Winds are out of south, southwest at 13 with wind gusts up to 18. 24 one-hundredths of an inch in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 86 degrees. Sunset at 8:26. 101 today, but you're going to get there maybe even a little warmer. 79 tonight and tomorrow. 102 with a 20% chance of thunderstorms. Winds will be out of south. 12-15 miles an hour with wind gust up to 20. So there you go, Hobart. Lone Wolf down in there, granite. It's warm. Them granite rocks are hot down there. So anyway, Taylor Ranch. Supply chains issues continue to be an obstacle in our everyday lives. It got a little better after COVID, but I think it's not much better. Lack of availability of items you need is becoming a regular occurrence. Buying ahead and stocking up is one way to bridge that gap. If you're one that likes to keep your freezer full during these times, Taylor Ranch can help you with that. They have quarter, half, and whole beef available for sale. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. Third-party verified all-natural and hormone-free beef also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef. Call 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. Get you some Taylor Ranch beef. Okay. I don't have time for the feral hog deal. The Noble Research Foundation put a deal out on it. So we're going to do it tomorrow. I'm not going to forget about it. So, but let's talk cotton, since the Cotton King seems to be harassing me during my show today, and one of these days he'll learn. Acreage updates for cotton were made in several states based on thorough review of all available data. All cotton planted are totaled 11.2 million acres, down 4% from the previous forecast, but up 9% from 2023. Well, yeah, because there wasn't no cotton planted in the Texas Panhandle last year. Area harvested is forecast at 8.63 million acres, up 34% from 2023. All cotton production is forecast at 15.1 million 480-pound bales, up 25% from the previous year. Based on conditions as of August 1st, yields are expected to average 840 pounds per harvested acre, down 59 from 2023. As of August 4th, 60% of the nation's cotton acreage had begun setting bolls, 2% ahead of last year and 1% ahead of the five-year average. 45% of the 2024 cotton acreage was rated in good to excellent condition, 4% below the previous, but 4% above the previous year. Cotton production in Georgia is forecast at 2.15 million bales, down 1% from last year. Alabama is estimated at 725,000 bales. That's down 1% too. And see here. Florida production is expected at 115,000 bales. That's 4% above last year. That's about what, 115,000 bales? And now what, the Cotton King? That's what he puts out, 115,000 bales. Also, here's some numbers, some more cotton numbers. And that is net export sales for the week ending August 1st. Sorry, my voice going away. Net export sales for the week ending August 1st, 2024, was 69,100 bales, combined with outstanding sales of approximately 1.0 million bales on July 31st. That was carried forward to the 24-25 sales of 3.2 million made in the previous market year. 24-25 sales to approximately, that moves it to the 24-25 sales to approximately 4.3 million. Total sales at the same point in the 23-24 marketing year was at 5.1 million. Total new crop 25-26 sales are already at 343,000 bales. Shipments for the week was 23,900 bales, bringing total exports to date to 23,900 bales, compared with the 133,800 bales. In the 23-24 marketing year. Not good. So, anyway, it's the way those Cotton King rolls, right? Cotton King. Anyway, let's see here. Not a whole lot going on. We've already discussed, this is from the National Cotton Council, USDA is updating. Updating its farm loan program. We already talked about that. And then the USDA is releasing more trade promotion funding for organizations who want to go after open markets in Africa, Latin America, the Caribbean, and South and Southeast Asia on promotion. $300 million, a competitive grant funding is what it's saying. So anyway, all right. See you guys tomorrow. Have a good day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.